hour here on the DDC. Derek McFarland and Derek Mason with you. Willie D has left the building, headed to the airport. Join the team, head to Buffalo tomorrow night. Preds and Sabres, 6 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 5 o'clock. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, now joins us. Elliot, we had David Poile on in the second hour of the show. Normally, he joins us on Tuesdays, but he was down where you were at the GM meetings down in Florida in nice places. They're always at nice places, nice warm places with sand and water, palm trees. What was a couple of your biggest takeaways from those meetings?
I don't know if there was anything hugely newsworthy, guys. You know, sadly, unfortunately, the thing that kind of overshadowed everything else was the death of the owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk. That got a lot of the attention. But, you know, I think, actually, I did talk to David about it briefly. I think the group just enjoyed being together. Again, it was the first in-person general managers meeting in 2 years. You know, the COVID outbreak really started here in North America with leagues and games getting shut down. I think it was the week after the GM meeting. So it had been 2 years since they'd all been together, and I think they really enjoyed the opportunity to be there together.
A lot of discussion about the long-term injured reserve, kind of the salary cap. I guess it's going to stay the same. What did you make of that whole discussion piece?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how far it's really going to go. And, you know, to be honest, guys, I had a couple of guys say to me that if Nikita Kucherov doesn't show up after drowning a few Bud Lights and say $18 million in the cap and people start selling T-shirts about it, they don't know if it really would have gone anywhere. I think it was the kind of the way that Kucherov handled it that got people so mad. You know, it's a bargaining issue. The league just can't say, okay, we're changing it. That's in the CBA. You have to negotiate it with the players. And I don't think there's a huge willingness from the people at the top of the league to, you know, have to concede something in bargaining or negotiate something that would have to go into the CBA. I mean, the document still has another 4 to 5 years left before it expires. So I don't know that it's really going to happen. Ken Holland of the Edmonton Oilers was the GM who suggested it. And, you know, one of the things that he's talked about is, you know, do we have like a hybrid model where you can carry as many players as you want in the playoffs, but your game roster, the 20 players who are actually dressing, have to be under the cap? I just don't know if we're going to see anything like that because, like I say, it has to be collectively bargained. But there's no question the way Kucherov, like, openly mocked the situation when Tampa won the Cup last year, rubbed a few people the wrong way.
Yeah, probably didn't help things at all. So, on the latest 32, I think it was the latest one, the 32 Thoughts, I know you and Jeff were talking about trading deadline, and Phil Kessel and Nashville all came up in the same sentence. Well, what can you tell our listeners and us about that whole situation? It was something that I had brought up many times on the show, that's a guy that I would be looking at if I were the Predators. This was obviously weeks out from the trade deadline.
Yeah.
How serious was that, and what insight can you give us to, was that ever close to possibly happening?
I don't know if it was close. I know you guys and the Coyotes talked about it. You know, I think he was someone that was on your radar. You know, one of the biggest challenges is that when in the NHL, a team is only allowed to keep salary on three players. So if you trade someone away, there are rules that allow you to keep some of the salary so the other team doesn't have to pay 100% of it, especially if there's a cap question. But you're only allowed to do it for three players. And Arizona, prior to this deadline, had already done it for two players. One of them is Darcy Kemper, who's now the goalie in Colorado. They've kept a little bit of money on him. Another is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a defenseman who's now playing for Vancouver. They've kept a little bit money on him. So they could only do one more. And Kessel, this is a year where He doesn't have a ton of salary left, but his cap hit is $6.8 million. Now, I know for Nashville, that's not as big a concern. You guys have a lot of cap room, but I still think you guys were hoping that Arizona could retain a bit. And Arizona retained on a trade with Washington, where a player named Johan Larson was sent by the Capitals, sent to the Capitals. So once that kind of happened, I think that, you know, Arizona couldn't retain a bit more. And I just think for whatever reason, the deal with the Predators kind of fell apart there. So like I said, I do think the Predators looked at them. I think there were several teams who did, and they were one of them. But at the end of the day, I think that's one of the reasons it never happened.
Since we last spoke, the Predators were scheduled to play. They played in Vegas that night when we last spoke.
Yep.
And Tanner Jeannot was out on the ice for warm-ups, and then Tanner Jeannot was not on the ice, and he was headed to the airport to come back to Nashville to be with his wife for their firstborn. So he didn't play in that game. Played Sunday night here against Philadelphia, had the game winner with just over a minute to go against the Flyers, had the Gordie Howe hat trick, and then had another goal again against Ottawa on Tuesday night here. It is 23rd goal of the season. Truly, where is he in the rookie of the year discussion, the Calder discussion? Really, where is he in that, and what do you think that pecking order looks like right now, let's say 1 through 4, in your opinion?
Well, I think he's absolutely in the race. Like, I have a vote, and he's going to be on my ballot. I think the question is there. I know that this may not make me a very popular person in one of my favorite cities in the NHL, but I'm leaning towards giving Moritz Seider from Detroit my number one vote. You know, that may change. There's still time left, but as I sit here with about 15 games left in the season, he's the guy I'm kind of focusing on. But Jeannot is high on my list. You know, I think he's had an incredible season. I know he's a little bit older than some of the other rookies, but, you know, that doesn't matter to me. He's had a unique path, and I don't think, you know, for a guy who's a bit of a late bloomer, and we've talked about this in the past, as a 17-year-old, he had one goal. Some guys just arrive later, and I don't think in his particular case he should be punished for that. I think the other thing that I really like about your guy is he scores a lot at even strength. In the NHL, you know, games are won at even strength, and that's where he does his damage, and I have a lot of respect for that. So he's high on my ballot, I think. But the number one guy on my ballot right now is Seider from Detroit, simply because he's a defenseman. He plays against the best players all the time. They're not a great team. Again, I could change my mind, but, you know, while Jeannot was there, I hope the people of Nashville aren't throwing beer cups at me from the roof of Tootsie's when I get there next time, when I say that right now Seider is my guy.
No, they won't. I think Darren will keep them from doing that.
That's right.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman. You can catch him on 32 Thoughts. Get everything he's thinking about, his 32 thoughts about hockey and what's going on. Now, Elliot, they're traveling to Buffalo today. They have a game tomorrow. The Senators are playing Buffalo's playing really well. Obviously, they're out of it. But when you play a team like this and they have so many young players, and Darren and I have talked about this along with Willie, these are one of these teams that you necessarily don't want to run into, because even though they're out of it, they're still playing as if they're in a playoff hunt.
Yes, that it's completely true. And I think the other thing there, Derek, that's important is they've had a decade that's just gone really badly. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, they think that they have something. And they think that they have something special. And I wouldn't say for the first time, but I would say the first time in a long time, they really think they're building something positive and they're excited about where they are. And sometimes I think it's very difficult to judge teams when they're out of the playoffs. I've had guys who play before tell me sometimes it's easier to play that way because there's no pressure that's on. But I think in Buffalo's case, it's a little bit different. I think it's a young team that's growing together. I think they really enjoy playing with each other. I think, like I said, for the first time in a long time, they see some success. And, you know, they're led by a goalie. And I don't know if he'll play you tomorrow night, if Craig Anderson will be in net. But he's a guy who's, you know, basically 40 years old and is still playing and still playing at a very high level. And he drives the bus. I think a lot of their players have seen, you know, he could very easily retire. He suffered a pretty serious neck injury this year, and I think everybody would have understood if he never came back to play. But he did, and I think a lot of their younger players are really excited by that and inspired by that. And, you know, plus they lost last night, so they're going to be in an ornery mood. You know, I think sometimes you look at teams out of the playoffs this time of year and think, okay, we're going to go in there and roll over them. That's not going to happen with this team. It's a trap game if you're not paying attention.
It's going to be really, really interesting. All right, just real quick, going back on the Tanner Chenault stuff,
yeah.
Elliot, you don't think being – I know you said he shouldn't be punished. You don't think being undrafted will hurt him? Because a lot of times these other guys like Zegras and Sider and Raymond, they're all high draft picks, right, and they get all this attention at the beginning of their career. You don't think him being undrafted will hurt him? I hope it doesn't, but do you think that will be used against him?
I actually think that helps him.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think that helps him. Because people like an underdog. They really
okay.
do. They like those kinds of stories. I think that's a good thing for Janot in voting and overall recognition as opposed to hurting him. I think people love that.
Oh, that's good to know. All right. Good stuff as always, Elliot. Really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll do it next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. You do the same. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Check out 32 Thoughts. It's fantastic. Good stuff, as always, from him. We'll continue the discussion on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.